Welcome to this special update. This is Mike Adams here of naturalnews.com and also the founder of brighttown.com with a special update on the election situation and Sidney Powell's statements, Lynn Wood, the evidence against the deep state, Trump's trap, and so on. And actually, this is kind of a meta-analysis because one of the questions that people have, and I've had this same question too, is very important. Is how do we know, and how can we trust this idea that Trump has them, that Trump has caught them, that Trump has the evidence? And there's growing frustration in some corners of, you know, the pro-Trump independent media and pro-Trump followers and so on. And even I saw on InfoWars, I think Gavin McGinnis was saying, Hey, Trump, if you've got some cards up your sleeve, it's time to show those cards. It's time to show us people. People are having trouble sleeping, okay? People are nervous. Like, Trump, you better have something, because these state courts, they look pretty corrupt to me. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court looks like a Democrat festival of lawlessness and tyranny. But yet there are others out there claiming that we've got this. You know, you hear Steve Bannon say, hey, this whole thing flips against the Dems in about 2 weeks, he says, that we've already won. And I agree with him, by the way, not criticizing him. And then you have Sidney Powell, who's just an amazing woman, by the way. I've become a huge Sidney Powell fan, that's for sure. Release the Kraken. Heck yeah. I'm on Team Powell, tell you what. And she is so confident in her statements that they are going to overturn the results in multiple swing states. Okay, she's very specific because she has whistleblowers from the Dominion Voting Systems Company and she has evidence. And then you have attorney Lynn Wood saying much the same thing, that Joe Biden and people like him are going to go to prison, not the White House. They're going to prison. And Lynn Wood is not some trivial person either. And you hear these kinds of statements, right? And you've heard the rumors about, oh, there are flights to Gitmo. Maybe you've even heard some of the rumors that I've heard from some of my sources are like, hey, claiming that top-level deep state people are already in handcuffs, even right now, that they're being interrogated like prisoners because they've committed treason. Let's face it, this is an act of war against America, this attempted political coup. And you've heard phrases like airborne rendition happening right now. But you're still asking the question, how do we know any of this is true? Okay. And I want to introduce a concept here called hope porn. Now, this is the opposite of fear porn. Now, what is fear porn? Well, fear porn, I guess it's a term used to describe people who just want to get clicks and attention and traffic by constantly pushing nothing but fear. Right? Somebody who's always got the most fearful message possible. You could even say the mainstream media, in regards to COVID, has been engaged in a lot of fear porn. That doesn't mean that people who are warning you about real things are engaged in fear porn. Fear porn is when it's unjustified fear or exaggerated, deliberately hyped up fear. That's fear porn. So what's hope porn? Well, that's the opposite. That's when somebody is trying to get clicks or attention or viewers or followers by pushing really false hope, right? And some people would accuse the Q movement, for example, of pushing hope porn by saying, don't worry, trust the plan, right? That kind of thing. Don't worry, we've got this covered. Just sit back. You don't need to do anything. We've got this whole thing covered. And that might be hope porn, you know, some would say that. And this is not a comment on Q in particular. I'm just using that as an example, because I guess we're going to find out soon whether Q is legit or not, right? We're going to find out real soon. But how do we know? This is the question. How do we know that all these things we're hearing right now about all this evidence and all of the, you know, the overturning of this rigged election, how do we know that that's not hope porn? And I've had this exact same question because I'm a critical thinker and I'm a skeptical thinker. And I've been in this business long enough to know that you don't trust all your sources all the time. And some people have an agenda to try to push hope, or others have an agenda to try to push fear. And, you know, my job as investigative journalist and publisher is to try to sort that out. And not always accurate, not 100% of the time, but always approaching it with an attempt at good, solid integrity and good decision-making. And that's why we've been ahead of the curve on so many things over all the years. I mean, think about now, just as a little side note, think about how many people today are suddenly realizing that everything we've been telling you about the coming great reset, right? About the depopulation agenda, about the medical tyranny, the forced vaccines, about taking away your free speech rights. We were warning about these things, you know, 5-10 years ago. And of course, we were called conspiracy theorists, even though all those things are now true, happening right now. You're being locked down under a medical police state. Your free speech has been taken away. Your election's been rigged. Your country's been stolen from you. Your small business has been crushed. You're about to be forcibly injected with a non-human, you know, potentially DNA-altering vaccine. It's all true. Now, this is like front page news. And it's people like me, and also to give him credit, Alex Jones warned you about this years ago, years ago. And not just us, but others as well. So we have been ahead of the curve, way ahead of the curve. I was warning you about Bill Gates and the depopulation agenda, you know, years ago. Now people are finally getting it. And just as a side note, you know, Alex Jones was interviewing people about the rigged voting machines a decade ago, and nobody listened to him. Nobody listened. So when you hear now people like Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood and Rudy Giuliani, and you know, all of a sudden they're shocked at all this vote fraud. I mean, I'm glad they're on the team here, but just to give Alex Jones credit, Alex reported this stuff, you know, in 2010 or 2008. It's incredible. All right, but getting back to the main point here, is this hope porn now to think that the deep state has been caught, to think that the Democrats are going to be destroyed because they're going to be exposed for their criminality and their fraud and their collusion with communist China to overthrow the United States of America? Is it hope porn? So one of the ways that we can answer this question is, first, I think one of the most credible pieces of evidence that this is not hope porn, that this is legitimate good news, is by looking at people like Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood. If you just take a look at Sidney Powell, for starters, Sidney Powell is, I would say, an intellectual giant. She's a very well-educated, very well-respected woman in the realm of, obviously, attorneys and the legal industry. She is obviously highly intelligent. She is courageous. She doesn't back down. And she's putting her entire reputation on the line. And she's also a person who speaks with great precision. And most attorneys are this way. I don't know if you've ever worked with a lot of attorneys, or maybe you are one, but most attorneys are very reserved in what they say. You almost never hear attorneys say things like, "Oh, we're going to overturn the election results in multiple swing states. We've got them. We have all the evidence." You know, statements like that. You never hear attorneys say that. Attorneys are very conservative in what they say because they're always trying to cover their tracks, you know, always trying to cover themselves. Well, they use a lot of fidgety language. There's a possibility that we may be leaning in the direction of a possible review of, you know, that's the way they normally talk, because they don't ever want to say anything concrete, because that's how they get nailed, you know, especially in defamation lawsuits and so on. So attorneys tend to speak in very vague terms. When you hear attorneys come out, especially very well-respected attorneys like Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood, by the way, who just beat the Washington Post in a massive defamation lawsuit involving Nick Sandman, right? That whole situation. When these attorneys, when you see them making very strong and very specific statements that are almost shocking, almost surprising in their strength and aggression, statements like Lynn Wood saying, Joe Biden and people like him are going to prison. Okay. That is not a vague statement. That is not like you normally hear from any attorney, including attorneys like Lynn Wood himself, who is a great American patriot, by the way. He's also an intellectual giant, and I applaud his actions here. When you hear attorneys like this making statements like this, you can infer something very important for us to understand. You can infer that they have seen evidence that you haven't seen yet. In other words, Sidney Powell is looking at something that we haven't seen yet, which is why we are so stunned at her statement. Similarly, Lynn Wood is looking at evidence that we haven't seen yet. It's kind of like this. Imagine this. You're standing in a hallway, and in front of you, 10 feet away, there is a bend in the hallway. There's a corner. The hallway continues, let's say, to the right. And standing at the corner of these two hallways is Sidney Powell. And you're standing in your segment of the hallway, and you're looking at Sidney Powell. You can see Sidney Powell. She's looking down the other arm of the hallway, the bend in the hallway, okay? So you can't see what she sees, but all of a sudden, you see Sidney Powell. Her eyes get big, and she screams, and she goes, "Whoa!" Okay, this is just a thought experiment. If you see Sidney Powell going, "Whoa!" then what can you infer? You can infer that Sidney Powell just saw something pretty crazy and amazing down the other arm of the hallway that you can't see. And the reason we can infer that is because we assume that Sidney Powell is a rational but human being who has normal human reactions that are justified by whatever she is witnessing, whatever she is experiencing. In other words, you can infer what people are seeing by looking at their emotional reactions, their statements. You can infer a lot. And when it comes from multiple attorneys, like Sidney Powell, Lynn Wood, Jay Sekulow, and others, and when you also have that information backed up by journalists who we know have links to important people like Sean Hannity going out and tweeting, quote, "busted," right? Kind of a one-word tweet from Sean Hannity earlier today. And then when you have solid evidence that you can see for yourself, such as the flight tracking timeline of 1,000 military aircraft in the air each evening for the last two evenings, with flights to Gitmo from Washington, D.C., for example, which we can see, we can prove that. We posted videos from Monkey Works. That's his nickname. He specializes in analyzing flight traffic patterns. When you add up all this evidence, we can rationally conclude that there is something huge. There is big's not even, there is a gargantuan amount of evidence or some massive bombshell of which we are not yet aware, but it exists. It exists. We haven't seen it yet, hasn't been fully revealed to us, but it must exist. Now then, when you listen to people like Steve Bannon, for example, Steve Bannon is there saying, "We've won this, we've got them, this thing is over in 14 days. You could perhaps argue that Steve Bannon is simply reaching that conclusion from the available public evidence, the evidence of vote stuffing and vote manipulation and vote fraud, and the affidavits from eyewitnesses who were involved in this operation now stepping forward and being documented. You could say that Steve Bannon, maybe Steve Bannon doesn't have access to special information. Maybe he doesn't see what Sidney Powell sees yet, that he's just going off of public information. That's possible. Maybe Steve Bannon, I mean, he's an optimistic guy, and he's a leader and a fighter. He's a warrior, which is one of the reasons why I like what he's doing here. He's a fighter. He knows the only way you lose is if you give in. If you surrender, you die. If you don't surrender, if you keep fighting, we're going to win this, right? And that's a rational position, even based on just publicly available evidence. So I don't think that Steve Bannon is engaged in hope porn, and I don't necessarily think that Steve Bannon has access to the same information that Sidney Powell has access to, but it's possible he does. It's possible. And then you have individuals like Alex Jones, who is also a fearless leader, and he's setting a wonderful example for dissent against a corrupt system. He traveled to Washington, D.C., gave an amazing speech there at the Trump rally. He's on his way to Georgia. Maybe there right now he's going to help rally the troops in Georgia. Alex Jones sometimes becomes very negative and pessimistic on his show. Other times, very optimistic with fighting words and so on. But it's all authentic. It's not an act. So he's not engaged in hope porn, nor fear porn. He's just telling you what he's experiencing and seeing on that particular day. And he has a lot of sources. And I would imagine that some of those sources are giving him good news and some other times are giving him bad news. But I don't think, just like the case with Steve Bannon, I don't think Alex Jones is yet seeing what Sidney Powell is seeing. Because if Alex Jones were seeing that, I can tell you, as someone who has been around Alex Jones, then I think Alex on his show would be really smiling and saying, we've got this. You know, we've got them bad. We've got them by the balls. Just wait till you see what's coming out. That, I think that's the way that Alex would be presenting this. So as someone who has been around Alex myself and has filled in as a substitute host for Alex on InfoWars and so on, I would say my assessment is that Alex does not yet have whatever it is that Sidney Powell is seeing. And I don't have it either. Sidney Powell has something big that she has not made public yet. Now, she's given some clues about this. She said a few days ago, release the Kraken. Remember that? I think it's one of the best slogans of the entire election year. In fact, I told my team, we got to design a t-shirt that says release the Kraken. And I don't know if we can do an illustration of Sidney Powell's face or whatever. Maybe we need to ask her for permission. But we could just do an American flag, you know, release the Kraken. Maybe Trump's face or something. Maybe donate the proceeds to the Trump Legal Defense Fund or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But I love the slogan, release the Kraken. Well, then she was asked earlier this morning, I believe, or maybe it was late last night. She was asked, what's the status with the Kraken? You know, where's the Kraken? What's going on? And she replied in a tweet that has now been shared widely, quote, the Kraken was released several days ago. That's right. The Kraken was already released. And she added, I'm paraphrasing, we are already starting to see some of the results of the Kraken. Or, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what she's saying. Now, then people say, whoa, what's the Kraken? What's she talking about? And then you start putting together other pieces of the puzzle based on evidence that we know is real that we can confirm. For example, Mark Esper, former defense secretary, was fired, right? Now, about a week ago or so, something like that. Not only was he fired by Trump, and you can verify that publicly, but a bunch of other people were fired by Trump in the Department of Defense. Lots of them. Guess what? Trump doesn't do these things by accident. Trump is not engaged in some random act of, you know, last minute vengeance or something. He's not just running around the White House throwing dishes against the wall saying, fire people. No, Trump has a plan. Believe me, you don't get to be a multi-billionaire real estate developer in New York City and other cities unless you have a plan. And it's got to be a damn good plan. And you better be a strategic genius because you have to outmaneuver the labor unions, the mafias, the government regulators, the construction companies, the utility companies, and just on and on and on. The labor supply, holidays. I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to build like a massive hotel. I mean, I just built, I expanded the Health Ranger store warehouse by another, I think, 17,000 square feet or something. And that was a nightmare. And it's just a warehouse. It's got a bunch of pallet racks in it so we can store more food, you know, that we're bringing in. And, you know, we had trouble getting the charger for the dang forklift to work right because it had the wrong voltage and to work with the electricians and switch that up. And then we had to have training and certification for people to operate the new forklift. And it's just on and on and on. I can't even imagine what Trump had to go through to build a high-rise luxury hotel, right? So I know I mean, I'm a pretty smart guy, and I know that even building a warehouse is difficult. How do you build a hotel in the middle of a corrupt city and actually get it done? You got to be a genius. You got to outthink people. You got to be many steps ahead. That's Trump. And I know the media likes to present him as some kind of a buffoon, but that's more media projection. You know, the real clowns are the Jake Tappers of the world and the Chris Cuomos and the Rachel Maddows. They are actual clowns. Trump is a genius, and he has outsmarted them. So he's not running around firing people randomly for no reason. He's firing people at the DOD for a strategic reason, and he waited for the election to be over in order to do this. Why would he be doing this? You can now infer that Trump has a plan. Yep, Trump has a plan, and it involves the DOD. And Sidney Powell is aware of the plan, and she said, release the Kraken, and the Kraken was released. And then we saw the flight logs of flights from Washington, D.C. to Gitmo. And then Sean Hannity tweeted, busted. And then on top of that, other sources that I've worked with for many, many years have talked to me and said certain high-level people have already been arrested. I'm not going to say who they are, but they're some of the very highest level people. You would recognize their names. I'm just not going to say it because I can't 100% confirm it yet. But big name, high level people already in handcuffs, being interrogated and being given the opportunity to confess on video. That's what I'm being told is happening. I don't know that that's true yet, but we'll see. Maybe that's what the Kraken is, you see. Maybe the Kraken is the DOD going out and arresting people for treason with multiple charges against them, conspiracy to defraud the United States of America. Does that phrase sound familiar? Oh, yeah. Robert Mueller charged 21 Russian companies with that charge in order to justify his bogus investigation into Trump for the so-called Russia collusion, you know, hoax is what it turned out to be, a total hoax. But to try to give it legitimacy, Robert Mueller charged Russian companies with, quote, conspiracy to defraud the United States of America by interfering in American elections. So there's a precedent, huh? So what if high-level members of the Democrat Party in the deep state engage in a conspiracy to defraud the United States of America? Would that be a crime? A crime that has a precedent of already being levied against foreign actors by none other than Robert Mueller himself? Yes. Yes. Wow. It's like they fell right into Trump's trap. But I guess you would want to see more evidence. Like maybe you want to see that if Trump was really planning all this, wouldn't there be, I don't know, some kind of published evidence from whitehouse.gov that showed that Trump knew in advance that the deep state and the Democrats were going to conspire with foreign actors to steal the 2020 election. There should be some kind of document, right? If Trump was planning ahead, well, there is. And I've talked about this in previous podcasts. There's an executive order signed September 12th, 2020. The executive order specifically outlines foreign interference in U.S. elections as an attack on the critical infrastructure, the elections infrastructure. And it specifically talks about U.S. people conspiring with foreign actors to alter election outcomes, to alter votes, and to interfere with the dissemination of accurate information about the results of elections in the United States. Whoa! He wrote that in 2018, and in that executive order, he declared a national emergency that is still on the books. And as you know, under national emergencies, power is concentrated into the executive branch, right? The president himself. The executive branch has special authorities to command the military, the Department of Defense, to carry out actions in defense of the nation, to defend the nation against foreign threats, invasions, coup attempts, takeover attempts, any of these kinds of things. Trump knew it was all going to happen in 2018. And then we hear that the Department of Defense, after Mark Esper was replaced with someone who would actually follow orders and defend this nation against its enemies, the Department of Defense raided the Seidel voting systems server farm in Frankfurt, Germany, and acquired possession of those servers and got all the data on those servers, the data that is basically a transaction log of the entire theft of the U.S. elections, transaction by transaction, you know, second by second, showing how the votes were stolen in the swing states, and especially in certain cities in those swing states. And then you realize, whoa, maybe the Kraken has been unleashed. Maybe the Kraken is the Department of Defense doing its job to defend America. Maybe that's what Sidney Powell is seeing. I suspect it is. And then you realize that all these recounts are irrelevant, right? You realize that all these little lawsuits at the local level are irrelevant. They don't even matter because the entire election was stolen. The entire election is tainted. The entire election will be declared tainted. All of it. Which also should bring you to the realization that all this hoopla about Georgia is a non-issue. You know why? Because almost certainly the GOP candidates already won Georgia. Once you take out the fraudulent votes and the rigged votes and the deleted votes that the CIA stole from the GOP, not only stealing from Trump, but also stealing from GOP candidates, once you remove all that from the election, there is no more runoff because the GOP candidates would get over 50%. They win. The GOP retains the Senate. See, you have to think bigger. And this is something that people have a hard time doing. People get caught in the minute details. Oh, are we going to get this electoral vote from this state? Are we going to overturn those ballots that were stuffed in there? Are we going to overturn these ballots, this 5,000 ballots over here because the signatures didn't match? No, you're thinking too small, people. Trump doesn't think small. Trump thinks big. For all the reasons I already mentioned, Trump thinks big. And I think outside the box as well, which is why this became very obvious to me pretty quickly. Trump is not thinking, how do I win this election? Trump is thinking, how do I, and pardon my language, how do I fucking obliterate the Democrat fraud system, the corrupt criminals, the treasonous actors who have been compromising this country and killing presidents since JFK? That's what Trump is thinking about. That's how big Trump thinks. It's not about how he can win this election. It's how do we preserve this country and utterly destroy its enemies? That's more like Trump-scale thinking, you see. So Trump most likely set a trap. He allowed them to steal the election so that he could seize the evidence of them doing so. And I believe that the main reason why Sidney Powell is so, you could say, excited right now is because she's aware of this. She's just got plugged into something that she didn't think was even possible. Because remember, again, most of these attorneys are pretty conservative thinkers. They haven't been listening to Alex Jones for 10 years, or they haven't been tuned into the Health Ranger podcast for 5 years. If they had, they would have been thinking bigger by now. Because not only have we in the independent media, and there are many others out there as well, you know, there's SGT report, there's X22 report, there's, you know, other websites and other commentators who have been nailing this for many years. We know this. We know about the global reset. We know about the vaccines as killing machines. We know about the depopulation agenda. We know about geoengineering and you know, frankly, terraforming. I've given entire lectures about that in front of thousands of people live, you know, over a year ago. I discussed faster than light travel technology. By the way, we are so far ahead of the curve. We think like Trump. We think about the big, big, big picture that's completely out of even the scope of the way most people think. That's one of the reasons why I like Trump so much, because he is a big, big strategic thinker. And he is many steps ahead. And they have played right into his hands, I believe. And to answer the main question of this podcast, I don't think any of this is hope porn. It doesn't mean there's 100% certainty of all of this. Doesn't mean that Trump will absolutely win. There's always a risk that he won't. There's a risk of him being assassinated, for example. There's a risk of the deep state starting a war with China, launching nukes and having China nuke us back, for example. You know, mutually assured destruction, anything for them to avoid being exposed. They're desperate. They might themselves nuke a U.S. city just to change the subject. There's nothing they won't do to try to destroy America. So it's not 100% certainty in any of this. But if I had to make a bet, the odds right now are strongly in Trump's favor. Strongly so. Otherwise, you wouldn't be seeing these other things that we just talked about. You wouldn't have these other pieces of evidence out there. It's not hope porn. It may be the only real hope for this country, for the survival of this constitutional republic. And by the way, if we're right about this, we're going to wake up one morning and we're going to see being aired live from the White House confession tapes. We're going to see John Brennan confessing. We're going to see Gina Haspel confessing. And the ones that don't confess, we're never going to see them again because they will disappear into a dark, deep hole, as they should, for what they have tried to do against this country. But for those who want to, let's say, not die, they will confess one way or another. Maybe it's documents, maybe it's a video, maybe it's audio, I don't know, but they're going to confess and the world will change forever. And there will be a day in the not too distant future when people will be ashamed to say that they're a Democrat, because the name Democrat will be forever associated with corruption and fraud and criminality and treason, which is exactly what Democrats believe in, by the way. They have no honesty. They have no morals. None of them have spoken out against cheating and vote rigging. None of them have spoken out against extreme censorship. They are authoritarians. They are evil people. They should be ashamed of who they are. And someday soon, maybe very soon, they will be ashamed. Because I forgot to tell you this, in the 2018 executive order, Trump also granted the government the power to seize all the assets and take down all the corporations and media companies and big tech companies that are involved in the election coup and in the covering up of the dissemination of information, accurate information about the election. He wrote that into the 2018 executive order. So once Trump springs this trap, if he takes it all the way, big tech goes down. Twitter gets seized by the government and turned into a public utility, which is what it should have been all along. Facebook gets seized by the Trump administration, turned into a public utility. No more censorship based on political viewpoints. And the New York Times, a treasonous fake news rag and disinformation propaganda hub working for the deep state, the globalists, and the CIA, the New York Times gets seized and shut down. Goodbye, New York Times, with all your lies and your Maggie Haberman disinformation, propaganda, treason against America. Goodbye. We won't miss you. And CNN goes down. MSNBC goes down. And then, what do you know? People flock to Newsmax and One America News Network and independent media and all the truth tellers out there, including InfoWars and others that have been reporting the truth since day one and getting censored and banned and smeared and sued into oblivion. Well, guess what? Guess who wins in the end? Those who have been telling the truth the entire time. That's right. I don't think it's hope porn. I think it's the most astonishing chapter of human history that any of us will ever live through. And I think we're about to witness it firsthand. As one of my sources told me a couple weeks ago, he said, when this is all said and done, Mike, we will feel as if our lives are privileged to have witnessed this chapter of human history unfolding in real time. It will be a privilege to have lived in this time, to see this with our own eyes, because it is such an historic event for the freedom of humanity. Does that sound like hope porn? Maybe to some people it does. I know it's dangerous to have hope. I know it's dangerous to have faith in other people, but I'm not asking you to sit back and do nothing. I'm not asking you to trust any plan. I'm asking you to think bigger. I'm asking you to support the president in this effort. I'm asking you to join the peaceful protests. I'm asking you to speak your voice on the platforms where you can, like Parler and Brighteon.social, both of which are replacements for Facebook and Twitter. Use Brightown.com to post your videos. Get off of YouTube. Get off of Facebook. What are you still doing on Facebook? Give me a break. Join the awakening. Join the expansion of human consciousness and the expansion of human liberty that is underway right now in our lifetimes, right in front of us. We are part of it. We can shape the future right now, each and every one of us. No matter how big or small we are, every voice counts. And every one of you who showed up in D.C., over 500,000 people now by current estimates, every one of you matters. And I salute you for your patriotism and your courage and your love for this nation. Because in the end, love wins, doesn't it? Love for America, love for freedom, love for truth, love wins. There we go. That's my take on it. I guess we'll find out soon whether our faith is justified or misplaced, won't we? But in any case, if you demonstrate the capacity to act with courage, with steadfastness, and in seeking the truth, then you are part of a movement that is so strong that it will prevail no matter what happens in the next 30 days or 60 days. Even if Joe Biden gets sworn in as president, which I don't think will happen, but even if it were to happen, we would laugh at him because he would be a hollow shell of an empty puppet who would have no power because we withdraw the consent of the people because he stole the election and you can't steal the consent of the people, can you? And you can't govern without the consent of the people, can you? He would be king of his own mirage, the chieftain of his illusion. He can play in his illusion if he wants, but he can't control us, can he? So thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger. Read my articles at naturalnews.com, and you can hear more of my podcasts at brightion.com. My channel there is HR Report. God bless America.